Welcome to What is Going Om for New Thought from the Edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello, and welcome back to What is Going Om's monthly energy and integration series, in which internationally respected authors, speakers, and spiritual facilitators, Jim Self, Lee Harris, and Susie Miller, join me to share what's going on energetically this month and how we can stabilize and integrate the shift in energies that are transforming life and consciousness on planet Earth. First up today is founder of Mastering Alchemy, Jim Self, whose consciousness-altering course in Mastering Alchemy and eponymous book have helped many thousands of people across the globe. Jim, welcome back.
Hi, Sandy. Delightful to be here, as always.
Jim, every time I speak to you, and I think this has been true for the past 9 years, I find the words to David Bowie's song, Ch-ch-ch-changes, running through my head. It seems that we have just been talking about changes in one way or another for that long.
Yes, and it's been that long, and yet that feels pretty short. It's gone by fast.
It certainly does. And it's interesting that all the astrologers are saying that this year, as if the others weren't, is a year of absolutely radical change. So while there are many astrological aspects that can speak to that, I know that's not your, you know, your area, but I'd like to get your input on this from an energetic point of view. So what is so special about this year?
Well, the last couple of years, as we all know, really been pushing hard on people, and that transitional aspect has been very much unfolding. You see it externally, but internally, everybody is changing very rapidly also. One of the parts that's very fascinating about this transition is that internal activity is really moving very fast, and a lot of times people will get disrupted, they'll get depressed, they'll get angry, they'll get frustrated. And then within a day or so, or an hour or so, or sometimes even shorter, it's gone. And we don't begin to remember that. Once it's gone, it's gone. So that push has been very assertive in this last year, and it has very much moved people from wherever they think they were to a place that quite often they don't know where they are. They're there, they're engaging, they're very present, but if you were able to, you know, go to 30,000 feet and say, you started here and now you're there, I think people would be rather astonished at the transition and the distance that they've moved as a spiritual person on this journey. One of the things that's really fascinating right now is a lot of that transition has been kind of cleaning, pushing things out. And that's going to continue to happen, but this month particularly, what we're all watching is if you were to allow yourself to take a breath, if you were allow yourself to just kind of disengage and enjoy yourself with no purpose other than enjoying yourself, these huge waves of light that are now coming in on that disruptive side of the transition, these waves are also carrying a lot of potentiality, a lot of opportunity, and the opportunity is going to be grasped in the allowing of yourself just to sit back and have nothing engaged. Just enjoy the sunset because it's a sunset. A lot of possibilities are now being brought into people's opportunity to choose.
Do you know, that's really echoing a conversation I had just half an hour ago with a friend. And it feels that the noise out there, as you describe it, you know, the 3D craziness is so pervasive that it is constantly pulling at people's attention, constantly pulling them away from that very act of just being able to sit and to be.
Yes, very much so. And something we've talked about, you know, numbers of times, and it depends on the format that it was talked about. Early on, it was referred to as, well, there's two Earths that are coming, not in terms of physical planets, but really what's being said is there's this segmentation of consciousness that is unfolding, and you're beginning to move into choices that are unrelated to other choices. And you're beginning to see, and you've got to step back and look at this, but there are, it's almost like groupings of people are being formed all over the world, unconscious to themselves, that basically says, this is the environment that I believe I would like to experience. And you're starting to see these states of consciousness beginning to unfold. And there's a lot to be said about that, but that's really fascinating in the early stages of this segmentation of consciousness.
And that, you know, the schism that seems to be taking place between people with one sensibility and awareness and those with a different sensibility and awareness is just really beginning to widen and widen, a bit like the Red Sea parting.
Very much. And see, this is why I think these next couple of months, and this month of April also, if you can just step back and disengage. Disengage doesn't mean stop throwing rocks at it because I'm overwhelmed and I've just got to do something different. This disengage means I still don't like what I see, but I'm going to allow it to completely be just what it is without having an opinion for a moment, without needing to go and rally and go to march or go to something. It's really, can you simply allow yourself to be comfortable, and then in the next minute be comfortable? It's in this disengaging, this allowing, that this opportunity of possibility is all of a sudden going to be noticed. But if you're wound up in, or why am I depressed, why am I angry, I have to save them over there, the work that Lee, you did last month was really excellent in terms of creating a vibrational field for people to become conscious of an aspect of consciousness of their engagement. And so that ability to just let go, just like yourself, just enjoy the ice cream cone because it's an ice cream cone, is really what I think is necessary or opportunistic in the next month, in the coming months after this.
We're being asked to shed an awful lot, aren't we? I mean, really everything that made us to a degree what we were, every piece of conditioning and imprinting, and you know, that's a hard thing to do after an entire lifetime carrying that.
It is a hard thing to do, and see, this is part of the opportunity. What if you didn't have to shed it? What if you just could refocus your attention point on well-being, on beauty, on the internal smile in the heart, and allow it? See, what we watch in Mastering Alchemy is as you begin to step into a higher vibration, you really now don't have to clean all of the baggage. The baggage just falls away because it is misaligned with the vibrations of well-being that you're stepping into. But it's really hard. And I mean, we just did a really large conference a couple weeks ago, and basically saying to people, what do you want? And then can you have what you want? And then now that you have decided you can have what you want, do you really want what you can have? And it all of a sudden you see people saying, well, I thought I wanted it, and I don't really need it. In fact, I'm not even that interested in it. But the momentum of the habit is not looked at. And the disconnect from the, I've got to fix it, I'm broken, I've got to take care of them, is really very much in stepping away and liking yourself, just allowing, become comfortable. Because when you go back into the arena, if you would, most of the arena is no longer there to battle with.
I find that one, you know, you're absolutely right, and it's incredibly appealing. And I am finding myself certainly able to have moments where I am content just to be. But that urge, that, you know, constantly driving one forward to know more, do more, seek more, learn more, etc., change more, I think is something that many people struggle with. What advice would you offer people who really find it hard to just let go and be?
Well, it is. We're you know, I say this often, we're like a freight train at 90 miles an hour, and Jim's over here saying, just turn right. You know, it's like, no, you don't understand, I'm going to crash. And I say, yeah, I understand, but just turn right, because you can. But the momentum and the sense of how we perceive everything around us is very much changed. This goes back to what I said at the beginning. Go back to that 30,000 foot and look at where you believe you think you are and where you actually are two very different places with very different opportunistic points of reference.
You are a master of practical tools. What tool would you offer somebody who needs to interrupt that flow, interrupt that pattern?
You know, in Mastering Alchemy, we teach a lot of tools, and there are two tools that, I say over and over, even to the people that are stepping into that light body work, and it's the very first set of tools that we teach, and the first one is that rose, and the rose being a point of delineation that is at the edge of the aura. And so if a person was to stick their arm straight out in front of them and turn your palm towards yourself, approximately there, plus or minus a little bit, is the edge of your aura, your organic energy field. If you were to put a rose, you could put a dandelion, you could put anything, but basically you're creating a point of delineation that allows you to say, on this side is me, and on that side is Shakespeare's theater to entertain me. And it's a ridiculously simple tool, but all of a sudden you begin to define your space, your presence, in a manner that allows you to disengage with a lot of the habit and the beliefs and the noise and very much the motion of the mass human unconsciousness that is pushing on each one of us. And it's in that one tool you begin to have discernment in a manner that allows you to have choice. And that's the jumping off point to all this. If I was to say a second tool really simply, it would be find the vibration of a word like certainty. And so if I said to you, do you know what certainty is? Intellectually, the rational mind says, oh, yeah, I know what certainty is. But if I said, close your eyes, take a breath, and then feel certain, something very different happens in the body. You begin to change the vibrational field to an alignment of a sound template, a word. It's in the feeling that you have a very different alignment with choice than if the feeling was anger, rage, resentment, depression. So if you can begin to find a word, certain, capable, seniority, graciousness, happy, and align it as a sensation, a feeling, and then stay on your side of the rose and watch the world around you, it's like changing channels. You get a very different channel that you're watching than the one that you started out observing.
Now, so what you're saying there is, you know, get out of the head and get into the body, because, you know, all of these words, as you say, we all think we know what they mean. They are a concept, and we pretty much share an understanding of what we think they mean. But when we actually feel that in our body, it's different.
Oh, it's very different. You know, and when you really get into being able to kind of clairvoyantly look at what goes on and have this engagement that I'm so fortunate to have with the Archangelics, Lords of Light, and others, and you begin to look at the body, for example, something that people would never even consider. You know, usually when chakras are taught, the first chakra is about the survival of the body, when in fact it's about the well-being of the body, but there's a little sliver there that says you're too close to the edge of the cliff, pay attention. But the belief is that it's about survival. The other thing people don't understand is when you begin to talk about the rational mind, the thinker, it lives in the first chakra. It does not live in your brain. And then when you combine it with a very wounded ego that lives in the first chakra, you have a structure of survival generated from a wounded thinking structure. And there's your freight train at 90 miles an hour. And once somebody begins to understand that relationship and the ability to begin to hold a word, define what you are versus the world around you, and start to recognize well-being, all of a sudden the perspective of life has an opportunity to be perceived in a comfortable, allowing, relaxed manner from a place of wisdom rather than an arbitrary reflection of what they told me it's supposed to be.
Well, it's interesting that we're going to get some help astrologically this month, because everything I've been looking at is saying that this is a great month for breaking free from personal restrictions and the breaking down and rebuilding of beliefs and foundations, etc. And I also know that you're doing a free event, a free webinar this month on that very topic of can I have it? Tell us just a little bit about that before we have to go to the break, Jim.
Yeah, so that's next Thursday on the 12th, and all the free lectures are available to everybody. But the question really is, can you have what you think you want? And often the answer is no. And so, well, why not? Well, I don't know why not. But when you really get into it, the mom, dad, teacher, minister of your past basically said, you're not good enough, you don't deserve, you're not smart, you're not attractive, you're not, something's wrong with you. And when you begin to take a look at bringing what's wrong with me into the present time, you realize there's nothing wrong with you. It's impossible to be not okay. And then from a place of recognizing consciously that the ability to determine what you want and create what you want becomes much more available to each one of us. And this is a great month to begin to be capable of just stepping back, allowing yourself to have what you want.
Jim Self, thank you so much for joining us today. Talk to you next month, Jim.
Thanks, Sandy. Love to be here. Have a great day.
Bye. You're listening to What Is Going On's Energy and Integration series. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and we'll be back after this break with energy guide, intuitive author, and channeler Lee Harris. Stay tuned.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, this is Dr. Donice Warden, and I'm excited to tell you about homeopathic injections from Hevert Pharmaceuticals. I utilize them in my practice for pain, inflammation, depression, and other medical conditions. I'm achieving excellent results, and I've seen no adverse reactions. I encourage you to explore these novel treatments.
Call Hevert today at 855-387-6466. To find a practitioner in your area to administer these FDA-registered medications. 855-387-6466.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
My name is Meera Batra, and this is How I Live United. Many families have come to America for a better life. I advocate for these families with United Way. United Way empowers them to see opportunities available. We help them get involved with their kids, schools, and network within the community. My name is Meera Batra. I help families see opportunity and succeed. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to What Is Going On's Energy and Integration series. And with me now is the multi-talented author, intuitive, and spiritual energy guide, Lee Harris. Lee, hello. Welcome back.
Hi, Sandy. Hi, everyone. Great to be back.
So, Lee, your April energy update, it seems to have two particular focuses, the rise of purpose and undercurrents of grief. What are we grieving?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised when that came to me the morning I was going to record the update, because if you think about it, as we step forward into anything new, whether that's a new purpose or a relocation or we change relationships, there is a letting go. So the grief that I was called to talk about is, I think it can go in any direction you want it to. So for example, if you do focus too much on what's going on the planet right now, as you call it, you and Jim call it, the noise out there, there certainly can be an impact of grief because of all the emotion, the sadness, the shock that certain people are having as they are going through their awakening via more 3D methods, if you like, you know, the collapse of structures that people had been believing in until now, who perhaps hadn't looked at the spirit or the soul or the idea that this is a journey that we're all on that's spiritual and is beyond what we see in the world. But I think for a lot of the sensitive people, empaths, those who already associate with being awake, it's interesting. I like that Jim referred to these very small pockets that can hit you and you're fine hours or a day later, but they just hit you very intensively. And I think with the death of anything, grief is a natural phenomenon. And you and Jim talked about the fact that we're in this relentless change period. So even though we're very fast at the moment and there's a lot going on and a lot coming at us, if you're really in touch with your feelings or with the collective feelings, then the grief that can come is just you acknowledging that things aren't going to be the same again. So even if you're stepping forward into something that you really want to do, or you're leaving a relationship because you know it's run its course, there is still a natural grief. And I feel like we're leaving a relationship that we've had and known with the earth for quite some time. I think, you know, I'm 41 and I have friends in their 60s and 70s and I have friends in their 20s. And I think everybody is feeling this cage being rattled, if you like, on the planet. And so I think there is a natural grief that comes with that if you're a feeling being. And that's what my guides asked me to address in this month's energy update, because it is the undercurrent to the birth of the new and the birth of new purpose, which is also coming in really strongly this month.
Well, I find the juxtaposition of those two really interesting, because one of the things that I've become aware of is how many people, particularly those that regard themselves as being in the spiritual arena, are grieving the loss of their dream, because many people had you know, a very fixed idea of what this period of time was going to be like, and it's showing up to be anything but. And that's what many people are grieving. But I see that there is hope in what you're saying with the rise of purpose, because that's what we should be turning our attention to.
It's interesting. There are three different groups that I'm kind of, or you can divide this group of people into three different parts at the moment, the people that I'm tracking and seeing and working with. And people are falling into one of three things. They are either rising up and taking their position as a teacher, a leader, a voice in this arena. So the arenas of consciousness, well-being, the kind of education that we didn't get from our mainstream upbringings that is beginning to, if you like, proliferate more and more in society as people are waking up and needing those tools and wanting those tools. So, you know, one of the things that the Z's said a lot last year, that who I channel, they said, you are needed and now is your time. And I back that up with every voice is needed. If there's one thing that I hear over and over again when I'm working with people who are wanting to do their work in the world, they're like, well, why am I needed? Because Oprah's already doing it, or Sandy Sedgby is already doing it, and they're doing a good job. I'd only be doing the same thing. And the thing I have to remind them is, no, you would be doing it the way you do it. And there are more and more people waking up. There are more and more people coming online every year, and I mean the internet. So every voice is needed to help with that. So one third are going into becoming more active teachers. The other third, interestingly, are kind of either resigning from being in that role and going more into their communities and not so much looking to reach many hundreds or thousands of people, but having more activist or healer-focused ways of being in the role they now want to play in their local community. And then the other third are resigning from all of it and going, I'm just going to hold space, whether that's going to take 2 years, 3 years, or 4 years. I'm going to live a very quiet life. I'm going to get rid of the idea of a purpose that's external for me, and I'm going to find my purpose of just really applying everything I've learned spiritually and just practice being and being in my joy and being in my feelings and being awake to this world. And all three of those all of those groups are needed, and there isn't a wrong choice, but there is this massive changing of the guard where people are being called to step to a different group than the group that they may have been in for the last decade or more.
Do you regard some of that as a kind of handing over of the baton? You know, some people have been in the arena so long, and as you say, they just want to step back now. Do you get the sense that there is this changeover happening between with people who are the newbies that are waking up and that are raring to go?
I do, and I guess one thing I could share from personal experience is there was a period in early 2016 that went on for me for about 6 to 9 months where I really considered stopping doing this work. And there were many reasons it would have been scary to stop doing this work, because it's what I've done for so long and I support a team and, you know, the people that I'm connected to. But I really wasn't sure what was next for me, and I didn't know if it was going to be staying with this work. And interestingly for me, what was born out of that searching was a kind of reinvention from within inside what I do. And I knew that what I really wanted to do was to teach people who want to do this work how to get there quicker, because I was, you know, doing that in my personal life. I was doing that with clients I was coaching. And so I created this training program called Impact the World, which we launch at the end of this month for creatives, change makers, and people who want to make a difference in the world. And it's something I'm really going to focus on over the next year in many different ways. So I think you can also pivot in your arena. I think you do tend to go through a dark night of the soul if you feel like some of the juice or some of the fire or some of the alignment has gone. But I always say to anybody who's considering it, I'm like, well, just give it a year. Take your foot off the gas. Don't, you know, break any contracts or relocate yet. Just give yourself a year to decide, am I leaving this or am I just going to reinvent from within inside? Because I see that happening with a lot of people too. But often what precedes that is the idea that you have to kill it altogether, because it really is a kind of death of the identity that you used to have. So I do think the baton is being handed, but I also think, I don't know about you, Sandy, but man, the energies are just so different to anything they were 5, 10 years ago that I think all of us are recalibrating inside our own bodies as we go every single day. And so what we're birthing and creating just has a very different appearance to what we thought we may have been creating 5 years ago or what we thought we were doing.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I mean, it is so difficult to keep up with it all. I mean, we go from one mood, one way of being to another in, it seems like, the blinking of an eye.
Yeah, it's true. And some of that seems by design. I don't know about you, but I love that you and Jim were calling it the noise. I think there is a design to that noise that's supposed to disempower us in the same way that much of our conditioning is designed to disempower us. And whenever I tune in, the message that they're always giving me is, it's not an easy time. It's going to be a hard time to go through the years that you're in right now. But they say slowly but surely you will see the transformation. But I think one of the things that can happen to those who are gifted as visionaries or as people who can tune into their guides is you know, we go to that plane and there is no time. So you go to that plane and everything is just and multidimensionally connected. And then you come down to 3D Earth and you're like, oh, my God, this is really slow. Why is this so painful? Why does this? And for me personally, there has been, I found that the more I work on balancing the two and recognizing that my personal role is to be a bridge between those two worlds and my experience is being a bridge between those two worlds, once I understood that, it made some of the trickier days easier to focus myself through and to get back on track, if that makes sense. So I think a lot of people are bridges, and therefore there can be this feeling of, oh, well, I'm not quite there, I'm not quite here. And to me, that's the truth of being a multidimensional being. We're never really anywhere, but we're also everywhere. It's a strange paradox. And I think as you allow that into your humanity more, which wasn't what we were invited to do by our training in school and our parents and, you know, religion, I think that really is the birth of the new human that's going on. But it's certainly there's no map. So it's very confusing at times, particularly if we don't feel safe in what we're choosing or whether we feel supported on the planet.
There's one piece in your energy update that's this month that really caught my eye. I mean, you know, we're talking about reinvention. We're talking about letting go of the old. We're talking about, you know, stepping into new ways of being, doing whatever. And you wrote, the reason that grief is going to come up collectively for people in April is because of an identity change. Now, that's an interesting one. Because I think, you know, whether we find it hard or whether we find it easy, we all learn to cope with transition in terms of environment, you know, where we live, a new job, what we're doing, the different stages in our life. But letting go of an identity, you know, that's really personal. I mean, that's something that's always been with us. What advice do you give to people who are facing that?
Well, what I would say is, look back to a year ago in your life and see if you recognize yourself, because I think we forget, we get so, in a way, being in the present is a wonderful thing, but sometimes we can use the past to see where we're progressing to. And I'll give you a brief example. I'm in Santa Fe today. I'm here to run an energy mastery experience this weekend. And a few of my team members and I were in Toronto this month last year to do an energy mastery experience. And we were all blown away about how differently we all feel, how different the world is, just a year later. And I've learned that if you can just look back a year ago and see who you were and how you felt, you'll be shocked how far you've come. And when you feel like the ground is wobbly beneath your feet or you're not quite sure what you're doing next, it's really important to try and zoom out and go, in a year, I will look back on this day and I will see it was part of this journey that I'm in. But I will say, Sandy, I think collectively, enormous changes took place in the year of 2016, not just in America, but in various governments around the world. There was this very strong energy change in terms of what we were seeing in power. And for a long time, we were all in shock. And I think in the last year, the emotions around the identity change of how our world looks right now versus how it looked 3 or 4 years ago is moving through people's systems. So that's a good thing, but as we know, when grief and trauma move through the system, it's not always comfortable. And we're heading into a different future based on the current identity of the world and based on what people are birthing in themselves. So what I would remind people of is try and stay with your path and recognize you aren't disconnected from the whole. What you're working on, what you're wanting to be and bring to the planet is going to have a really big net effect. And it's very easy to get distracted or disempowered by what you see going on outside.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when we are going through transition, often what keeps us going is the thing that's in front of us, the thing that's calling us to change and move towards, you know, a new home, a new place, a new relationship, whatever it might be. But what we're facing right now is the unknown. So that makes it doubly hard for people.
Well, I love what Jim said about, yes, you can get the things that you want, but then when you get them, you realize they aren't quite what you're like, oh, well, now I've got that, but, you know, it's what next? And I think we're a generation who were taught to distract ourselves from the present by thinking about what's next. And this current time on the planet, it's those of us going, okay, can we get conscious now? Can we see how we feel right now? What if we sat down for 5 minutes and didn't open our emails, check our phone? What if we just looked at the wall of the room that we're in? And I encourage anyone right now, wherever you are listening, see, unless you're driving, of course, see if there is a focus in the room that you can just get and just sit with that for a minute or so and just see how you feel when you really give your focus to something very physical in front of you, just you and that thing in communion for a moment. So you might be looking at the carpet or a lamp or a tree and just give it your attention for a minute, and you will notice that your body, the more you do this as a practice through the day, the body gets to calm down. But we're so overstimulated as a society at the moment that's a discipline that we're having to learn as things have got faster around us and really ingrain. So I think regarding the changing identity and the shift, the more you can find moments in your life to get present without beating yourself up about the times you aren't present, but including the idea of presencing yourself day to day or week to week, the stronger you will get to that connection of feeling, okay, this is how I feel now. No, I definitely don't want to go to that place I was just invited to. And I know that for sure because I can feel how my body responds to it. But when we're out of our body and lost in our head, overstimulated, we lose that body sense connection that we all really need.
You're absolutely right, because the one thing we can rely on is that all phases and all emotions carry opportunity within them. If we can be still long enough to look at those opportunities.
Yes, and that's where, for me, the zoom out, that's why I'm so grateful I can channel, and I encourage everybody to channel, because I think we all can. It gives you a chance to zoom out and look at the big picture, and it's amazing how much calmer we who are wired the way that we and your listeners are wired, we really calm down when we see the big picture. Because it makes the small picture feel a little less confining, which is why, you know, I was enjoying listening to you and Jim for 20 minutes at the beginning of the show, because I'm like, oh, yeah, great. I love the big picture conversations, because I think the big picture reminds us we're on a journey and that this is a moment in time, but there is an arc that's going on for all of us. And so that's what I try and focus on whenever I notice I get small, which, of course, I do. I'm human. I have those small moments. I have those moments where I'm clearing out stuff. But I try and zoom big in those moments, and that always helps.
Great reminder, Lee. Thank you so much for joining us today, and enjoy Santa Fe.
Thank you, we will.
Okay, bye, Lee. You're listening to What Is Going On's Energy and Integration series. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and after the break, we'll be hearing from visionary speaker, author, and multidimensional seer, Susie Miller. Don't go away.
The cutting edge of conscious radio. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Hello, this is Dr. Donice Warden, and I'm excited to tell you about homeopathic injections from Hevert Pharmaceuticals. I utilize them in my practice for pain, inflammation, depression, and other medical conditions. I'm achieving excellent results, and I've seen no adverse reactions. I encourage you to explore these novel treatments.
Call Hevert today at 855-387-6466 to find a practitioner in your area to administer these FDA-registered medications. 855-387-6466.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family. And then, boom, Everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at EmbraceRefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to What Is Going On's Energy and Integration Series. And welcome back also to visionary speaker, author, telepathic communicator, and multidimensional seer, Susie Miller. Susie, I know from the topic of your energy session this month that you feel we're being called to a whole other state of conscious awareness right now. Tell me your interpretation of what that means for us.
Yeah, what I noticed is, you know, we had the spring equinox, and then we had a full moon, and then we had Easter, and it was as if some portal opened or some space opened into a higher state of consciousness. And what was fascinating to me to watch is that it was open, but so many people were oblivious to the fact that it was open because, as Jim was saying earlier, you know, we spend more attention, well, we put more of our attention on the noise in the outer landscape than we, you know, do on some of the more refined aspects of ourselves. And so we had this big portal that opened that was kind of like a little bit of a come hither, you know, it's like it's time to move into a different state of consciousness. And to me, you know, Jim was also saying something along the lines of, you know, we're being asked, you know, what do we want, and can we actually have what we want? And what I was noticing is a little different variation on that, but similar, in that it was almost like we were being asked now to align to what wants us. So if our souls or our the broader aspects of ourselves are always working on our behalf, they're always working for us to come into some kind of awareness of who we actually are beyond, you know, these limited human experiences, then it's almost like, you know, this opportunity to align to what wants us it hit me as really profound. And what I know in my own experience is, as I started saying that to myself, you know, I'm going to align with what wants me, because in my limited human desires, needs, whatever, I'm going to say that I want this or I need that or whatever. I'm going to try to create or manifest that. And like Lee and Jim both said, we get there and we kind of go, well, what the heck? You know, it's not as wonderful as we thought it would be. Or it's not actually what we really wanted. But when we start aligning with what wants us from, and by that I mean what wants us from our broader perspective, we find ourselves taking new paths. And Lee spoke about this beautifully, you know, about the three different groups of people. That, you know, some are kind of stepping up and stepping out as teachers. Others are, you know, kind of stepping out altogether. You know, those opportunities. But what I'm noticing is that, as I personally and those that I've been working with are kind of reorienting to aligning with what wants us, it's almost like these opportunities naturally and organically present themselves. And we find ourselves in a state of joy when we didn't even know that that was something that we might have wanted. Does that make sense?
It does. You know, as with other months, I'm seeing the common thread between Jim, Lee and you. I mean, you're talking about, you know, the changes, I think you worded it in your email about this month's energy session, that we're growing by leaps and bounds, and in the process, our authentic expressions are rising up to the surface as a state of being. Now, Lee talked about the rise of purpose. Jim talked about us interrupting the flow and allowing. And it sounds like these are all different takes on the same thing.
Exactly.
Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and I think that no matter how you look at it, it's just this opportunity to, you know, I think everybody said this too. It's like to really stop for a moment and really connect to yourself, you know, really connect to that broader vantage point. You know, to me, that's the what wants us, you know, kind of energy. So if we really take the moment, a moment to sit and connect with that, what we begin to understand is that our lives have now and always have had this kind of beautiful trajectory for us. But, you know, when we're involved in the noise, we miss that trajectory for a while. But then the noise, you know, does its thing. It changes a little bit and does whatever it can. The noise doesn't do that. Some aspect of us, some higher dimensional aspect of us, does something to kind of say, no, pay attention. You know, you're getting the things that you think you want over and over again, but you still feel like crap, or you still are not enjoying, you're still not in that state of joy. And I think that right now, this particular month, this particular opening is giving us this opportunity to integrate, you know, integrate these moments, integrate this awareness of what we've become.
Well, that raises the question, what have we become? I mean, you titled your monthly energy session this month, Avatar Integration. Are you suggesting that that's what we have become or are becoming, an avatar?
I actually believe that that's what we have always been. We're simply just getting deeper and deeper opportunities to realize that state of consciousness. And as we realize the avatar within, we start working with or functioning from what is an alignment to that, instead of trying to always kind of work against the current. So, you know, we talk about taking the path of least resistance. And, you know, Jim talked about this too, about, you know, just giving ourselves enough of a break that we actually just sit back and enjoy for a second. You know, sit back and enjoy the sunset or whatever those things are. And we're so programmed, especially I think in the spiritual community, to kind of always be working on ourselves, to always kind of be digging something else out. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't, you know, pay attention to what's arising and that kind of thing. But there's something that already wants us, that our avatar nature wants us to realize that nature. And if we're kind of all over the place trying to figure out how to get there, sometimes we're just missing the fact that it's there. You know, it's there and it's available and it's been working on our behalf the whole time.
So would you describe in another way this something that wants us as our purpose?
Instead of purpose, I think I would say what wants us is our presence. Wants us, yes, is our presence, because purpose to me still sounds like there's something that we have to do. And I think one of the shifts that's happening right now too, and what's kind of moving us into the opportunity to be in this other state of consciousness is, is there anything here that we have to quote unquote do? Or is there something that we are maybe in the constant state of becoming? Is there something that we maybe already are that is simply revealing itself to us? And sometimes we get so caught up on, you know, well, I need to have that audience, or I need to have that new expression of self, you know, in a book or a whatever, that sometimes we miss this really powerful state of being, this, what I would call that, that avatar aspect of ourselves. And it just takes a few opportunities of aligning to that. So if what wants us is our avatar nature, if what wants us is our state of presence or our state of being, simply setting that intention and moving through your day with that intention opens you up to a vastness that I think that many times when we're trying to look for what our quote-unquote purpose is, sometimes we miss, right?
Well,
I know I did that.
Go on.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say
that I know that the reason I want to share this, too, is because I remember somebody going to somebody for a session or for some insight, and I remember her saying to me, Susie, what's the purpose of an olive tree? And I said, you know, it's like, and in my moment at that moment, I said, well, to produce olives. And she goes, no, that's not the purpose of the olive tree, is to be the olive tree. The byproduct is that it produces olives. And so I think that's it. It's like the purpose of us all being here is to be, to fully be. And the byproduct of that is whatever we create out of that joy, whatever we create out of that love or awareness of self.
I understand that. I understand that in the saying that we are here to be, to express our light, to shine our light, if you like, or express our being, the fullness of our being. And in the expression of that being, we then naturally unfold or create our doing as a result of that, not the other way around.
Absolutely. And you know, you and I have talked about this before, too. It's like, When we fully choose to align with our avatar selves or our presence or whatever you want to call that, we have this amazing ripple effect. We touch people in ways that, you know, some ways we know because we're standing in front of 500 people talking to them. And or, you know, it's the same standing in front of 500 people as it is impacting somebody at the grocery store. You know, it's like there's this ripple effect that vibrationally we have I don't think we have any real concept of. But, I mean, I know I've heard it in my own experiences where somebody says, you know, I've been listening to you for 10 years, and you said this then, and I told this, and this person over there, oh my gosh, I heard them using that. You know, that's this amazing movement of energy that is a representation of our state of being, right?
We've got about 2 minutes left. I know that you are a master of integration. I know integration is something that you're very famous for and you practice so well. You also offer balance and integration sessions with your monthly energy sessions. I don't want to take away from your livelihood. However, would you be willing to give us an example of an integration session, in a sense, a mini taste, or integrate something for us before you leave today?
Yeah, well, first I will say I can't integrate anything for anybody,
for
but
you.
What we can do is we can create an environment so that your listeners become more aware of what the potential and possibility is in the moment, what can actually be integrated. So, yeah, absolutely. I'll do it quick because I know we're running out of time.
Okay,
so
go ahead. The floor is yours.
Thank you. So let's just take the idea of avatar consciousness, right? So none of us really, you know, again, we can have a conceptual idea of what avatar consciousness is, but that's really very different than what the embodiment or the state of being of that consciousness is and what that avails us of. So for just a second, let's just place our attention on the energy of avatar consciousness, okay? And I might have to switch into light language just a little bit, but bear with me here. Just much easier for me to get the information that way. So if you are placing your attention on avatar consciousness without any idea of what that is, just a feeling state, I am intending that, your body is probably already starting to vibrate. So your body's starting to vibrate, which means your body just jumped into a different frequency. And if your body's starting to vibrate, maybe your heart's starting to pound a little bit, we can now simply intend, request, that everything that is not a match for holding that avatar consciousness for as long as you can be simply let go. And so simply just breathe it out, breathe out what doesn't allow that, and invite that avatar consciousness to come a little bit closer into your relationship with your humanity.
Is there more, Susie, or should we just focus on that?
I think for right now, it looks like we're losing our time. So focus there. That's awesome.
Susie Miller, thank you for joining us today. For more information about Jim, check out masteringalchemy.com, leeharrisenergy.com, and susiemiller.com. And you can also sign up and experience more